Amen. While you're standing with me, why don't you go with me in your Bibles over to 1 Kings in the Old Testament. 1 Kings. Open them up on your phones or however you got a Bible. There's a lot of people in our church kind of going through some things right now, and it's just, you know, life just happens sometimes, and just things are happening. Sometimes it's a spiritual attack. Sometimes it's just the effects of living in a broken world. And so I'm going to start a series next Sunday on the book of Ruth. And so if you're not familiar with it, it's an Old Testament book. It's a beautiful book. It contains everything in that little book in the Old Testament. We'll go ahead and start reading that this week. I'm asking everybody to get a head start, familiarize yourself with the characters and the people. We're going to start that up next week. Today, I want to finish something I started a few weeks ago about the Holy Spirit. And that's why I know God's going to continue to move in our lives, because the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, he's the one that does the work. And so after Jesus rose from the dead, which is last Sunday, we celebrated it, right after he did that, he began to turn his focus on the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you guys, his disciples, I want you to go and wait until you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Till you will receive power. He said, I've talked about it. John the Baptist has talked about it. He baptized you with water, but he said there's one coming greater than him that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he said, now is that time. So I don't want you to go and do anything. I don't want you to start ministry. I don't want you to do nothing. I want you to wait until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what was happening right now during this 40-day period after the resurrection. And so I want to just turn our attention and talk about the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to pick up where I started before Easter and looking in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament is types and shadows of the fulfillment of the New Testament, right? So many different ways with about Christ, but also the Holy Spirit. And there's this guy named Hiram or Huram, depends on what translation you have, by the way. His name is H-I or H-U. Hiram is the Hebrew variation of the word Huram, name Huram. It's just whatever translation you may have, but he is a type of the Holy Spirit. So in the New King James, he's called Huram as his name. 1 Kings chapter 7, I want us to read this together, and then we're going to preach and talk about the Holy Spirit today. And then we're going to have more time of worship and opportunity to pray, because I know God wants us to be like his disciples and be filled up with the Holy Spirit. Even if you've experienced the fullness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's always room for him to fill us back up again and to get full of God. That's what Sundays are for. We come in here empty from spilling out all week at work or whatever else, living life. And we come in here and we worship Jesus and we get filled up with the Holy Spirit so we can go back out. How many know Monday's coming? Amen. Don't even think about it, right? Some of it puts us in a bad mood, right? But we can face this week with the Holy Spirit inside of us and what God is doing. So this guy named Huram here in 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13, it says, now King Solomon sent and brought Huram from Tyre. He was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a bronze worker, and he was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to King Solomon and he did all of his work. Someone say all of his work. He did all of his work. Look at verse 40. This is what he was known for. These are the three things that he did, and the Holy Spirit is known for these three things. We're going to talk about them today. Verse 40 says, now Huram made the lavers, the shovels, and the bowls. And he finished. How many know he's a finisher? The Holy Spirit is a finisher. It's not how we start, but it's how we finish. And the Holy Spirit is the finisher. That good work he began in you, whether it be last week or 6 years ago or 60 years ago, he is going to complete and finish that work. He's the finisher. He came in Solomon's temple and he said, okay, everybody else did all this. Now it's my turn. I'm going to finish. I'm going to do the finisher, the finishing touches. And he made these three things, working all that he did for King Solomon. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. We ask your blessing to be upon us this morning as we read and go deeper into your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give a couple people a high five, fist bump, shake their hands before you're seated. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I want to also thank everybody for last weekend that helped serve in all the ministries. Good Friday, both services Sunday. It was a lot of work last week and this week, and thank you for all of your hard work. I want to give a quick plug. This Thursday is our prayer. We're kicking off that prayer, but it's also the National Day of Prayer. This Thursday is the National Day of Prayer, so we're going to be here at 10 a.m. So if you're able to be here at 10 a.m. in the front chapel for prayer and connect, it's a good way to start off this prayer that we're going to be having every couple of weeks and a month. So you're going to be here for that, and God is going to minister. And how many know our country needs prayer? How many know our country needs prayer? We need to keep praying. Yes, amen. And so we're the ones that's called to pray and do this that the Lord has called us to do. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. I asked you a few weeks ago if it was possible for a person to change. And the answer is yes, with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He brings change in our life. He brings freedom. He brings liberty. He's the one that does the work in our lives. And so Solomon needed this guy named Hiram to come and help in the temple. And so he had him come, and I told you last time that we are the temple of God. Tell the person next to you, you are sitting next to a temple of God. You are sitting next to the temple of God. That is so revelatory right there by itself. Look at the scripture if you don't know it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. How many know John 3:16? So remember 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm trying to help you to memorize scripture. We got to lock and load scripture. How many know that? Amen. You don't just read it. We got to learn it, memorize it. And this is a beautiful one. I am the temple. King James says it. Know ye not you are the temple of God? Paul is telling the Christian. He said, don't you know you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's powerful. So we need to be reminded of that. We house the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And Hiram came and he began to go to work inside of the temple just like the Holy Spirit does. And the first thing that he does, and I spent all week on this, you can go back and watch the message. It's on our YouTube channel. I'm not gonna re-preach it, but the first thing he made was the lavers. These were for washing. He made the lavers for washing. And this was something that the priest would do, and I think we got a picture of it. Just to recap a little bit, the priest would use these lavers, bronze, made out of bronze, to wash themselves before they went to work for God. And I just talked and brought out the fact that this is very important to realize this. They used the laver after the sacrifices, meaning the sacrifice atoned for the sin. It got rid of the sin in their life. So this was after our sin is gone. They would then wash themselves. They washed their hands. They washed their face. They washed their feet. That is the purifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's symbolic to what happens when the Holy Spirit goes to work in our life. Jesus died on a cross to take away our sin. But then we are to allow to yield to the purifying work of the Holy Spirit that he wants to do on the inside of us. He does a work on the inside. This is where the change comes. This is where people start saying, man, you're acting different. You're able to. I was talking to Melinda about this. I said, it's amazing, honey, how I tried. We talked about it. Just we were in two different levels. And, you know, how many know that we got to all work out our own salvation with fear and tremble? In other words, there's some things that you got to work out that your neighbor may not need to have that same problem. They are on. This is an individual process that the Holy Spirit does in all of us. And that's important to know because sometimes we get our eye on other people. Sometimes we can point out faults in other people to make us feel better. That's all we do, where we can become a fault finder, or we can, you know, judge ourselves by other people. Paul said, don't judge yourselves by other people. It's so easy to get our eyes off of what is God needing to purify in our lives? But he does this work on the inside of us. I would pray prayers all the time. You know, God, help me to forget to drop this habit, to quit doing this. And I would pray it when I got in trouble and when I really, you know, needed to, whatever, be clean or whatever. And it wouldn't work. It's like, I was telling us, this is amazing how I prayed the same prayer, basically, but it was different when I prayed it that time in 1997 when I really got saved. It's just something happened on the inside of me. It's just something changed. And I got the ability, the strength. I didn't know these scriptures, but I was actually quoting scriptures because the Bible says in Romans, when you were without strength, Christ died for the young. Without strength, it's a funny word to use. He's talking about, that's another thing the Holy Spirit does, is he gives us strength, this inner strength to do what God's called us to do. But I was able to break these habits that I tried for so long. I couldn't even quit smoking. I couldn't quit any of these things. By the way, smoke is one of the hardest things you'll ever quit doing. Amen. It was hard, but I just couldn't. I just quit buying cigarettes. And so I ended up smoking all my friends' cigarettes. And they would say, Eddie, you need to quit smoking. It'd be cheaper for both of us. Or you need to just start, you know, to quit that, because I couldn't break it. But when I prayed that prayer that time, something on the inside of me shifted. Something happened on the inside of me. And that is because I think I was in line for the first time in my life. I was in line in my heart with God. You ever be working a job and you're just there to collecting a check? You get in, you get out. You're not even making a lot of friends. I mean, we all have people that have that kind of attitude, and that's fine. But then there's something that happens when you start saying, you know what, I'm going to do more than just show up. I'm going to start leading at my job. I want to start getting noticed. I want to go up the chain. I want to work my way up. I want to advance. I want to see how far I can do. I want to lead in this position. I want to do better with this job. And so we start doing, something shifts on the inside of us, and we start getting recognition by the bosses. We start seeing, you know, we start liking the job a little bit more. How many know what I'm talking about? It's the same way with Jesus. We can go to church and, you know, we can kind of settle in neutral and just be like, yeah, I'm just, you know, here. And then, but when you really begin to surrender to God, when you really begin to say, let's go. I think that's because God is with us saying, let's go. And when we align ourselves with God, then we begin to see him go to work on the inside of us. That's what the difference was in my life. And what did he do? He began to go on the inside, began to clean me from the inside out. The purifying work of the Holy Spirit, the change of the lifestyle. And I gave you this scripture, and then I'll give it to you and move on. But Ezekiel, this is one of my favorite ones, and I read it. Ezekiel 36, he says that God will put, he said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. I love that scripture. That was a life-changing verse for me. He said, I will put my spirit in you and it will cause you to walk in my ways. He's that prompting that we get on the inside of us when we say yes to Jesus, that small, still voice telling us to not do this or to do this. And the more we yield to that, it's just a small voice. It's not a big, loud, don't do that. It's just a nudging, you know, and a little sense of, man, I should be doing this or not doing that. That's how he starts off. That's the Holy Spirit trying to go to work in our life. And as we yield to him and say, you know, I'm going to start following him. I'm going to start obeying him. Then he begins to get louder in our spirit. He starts to get louder. He starts to get stronger. Then your desires begin to change. Come on, somebody. What's happening? This scripture is being fulfilled in our lives. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what they did not have in the Old Testament. But Jesus says they're going to have it in the New Testament. We're going to have it after he rose from the dead. And we're able to walk with him. We begin to live this purifying, holy life. Amen. I love that. I spent a whole week on that a couple weeks ago. But I want to move. Keep going. It says he also made shovels. And he made these shovels for digging deeper. The Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, is he digs deep. You go from, you know, this kind of level, kind of a Christian, and then the Holy Spirit, if we yield to him, he's wanting to go deeper. He's the one that's wanting to go deeper in our commitment to God. He's the one that's wanting to go deeper in our worship with God. You know, we have this story in the Old Testament. Again, the Old Testament is types and shadows. We have the prophet in the Old Testament having this vision of him being at the temple of God, and he had an angel out there, and the angel was in deep water. And the angel says to Ezekiel, come on out into the water. And Ezekiel was like, okay. And the Bible says he went out until the water was to his ankles. And that's one level of Christianity. You're in the water, hallelujah, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but how many know that God don't want us to stay in ankle deep water? And so the story don't end right there. No, the prophet said, hey, you're doing good, brother. I'm glad you got your feet wet. You know, we do that with Christianity. I just want to try Jesus, you know. Brother, you try broccoli. Try that dish. But when it comes to Jesus, he don't want us to try him. He wants us to surrender and experience and go deeper with the things of God. And it's always for our benefit. Here's the killer about it all. We're always so hesitant. But man, how many know we can trust our Father? He's a good, good Father. How many know whatever he's asking us to do, it's for the good of us? But man, we just got this thing where like it's so hard to trust. And so the prophet says to him, do you want me to go out deeper? I'm already in ankle deep. I can do a lot. Ooh, I'm coming to church. You know, ooh, got me a little Bible. Got a little read a little scripture now. And the angel said, come a little deeper. And the Bible says he went out a little bit deeper and it was up to his knees. And he was like, woo, this is kind of good. You know, he liked it. He began to experience the moving of the water. And the angel said, hey, I'm not done. Tell your neighbor, he's not done. He's not done. He said, I want you to come out a little bit deeper. And so the prophet came out till it was to the waist. You know what happens? The deeper you get in the water, the less control you have. It's easy when you're ankle deep to be like, oh, they didn't shake my hand. I'm out. Oh, I got a little. It's easy to get in on Sundays. We out on Saturday. We in on Mondays. We out Friday night. I'm up here. Come on. And then Sunday we get. It's so easy to live that kind of life. And many have lived it for years. I know I did. But God is saying, I got something good for you, but it's only in the deep. I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm trying to help us this morning. But the deeper you go, the more you lose control. And now he's waist deep. And so if the current is going this way, you got to go with the current or you're going to be fighting. You know, I've seen people fight. I fought against God. God's telling me to do something. And then you start fighting against God. This is how you look in water. You ever see someone fighting in water? That's how we look. I want you to worship. Not in front of all these people. I want you to tell your neighbor. I want you to tell your coworker about me. I don't want to do that. I want you to delete this person or delete that. Quick, don't go into that website, man. It's draining your calling and your anointing. It's draining you. Quit that. And we fight here in the waist deep. You're still kind of in control. And this is good. You're in the water. I'm so thankful you're in the water. God is so thankful that you're in the water. But the prophet wasn't done. The prophet said, the angel said to the prophet and said, hey, I need you to come out all the way to the deep end. And the Bible says he began to go out so he could not even touch bottom. Hallelujah. He no longer could even feel the bottom. He just began to tread in the water while he's totally surrendered to the things of God. The water was up to here. And the prophet said, now I'm in control, prophet. Now I'm in control. Now I'm able to move you however I want to move you. Now I can use you in greater impact and greater influence. But we got to get into the water. That's the digging deeper that the shovel did. That's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in our lives, is to have us go deeper in the things of God. They would use the shovel to also dig the ashes around the altar. They would have to go out into the woods, and they would dig dig the dirt, earth open, and put the ashes in the earth. Shovels, they're made to go deeper. Biggest way that he helps us to go deeper is in our commitment with the Lord. That's how he has us go deeper. You can be a very uncommitted person. You can be that person that Jesus taught that the seed falls on ground. Remember the different soils? And one of the soils, they received the word and they sprang up as soon as persecution. The sun came, they withered and died because Jesus said this, they had no depth in them. And I don't believe that the parable of the sowers are four different people. Sometimes I believe it's the same person on different levels. Because there was a time when I was a very uncommitted person. I could not keep any of my commitments. I had no depth in me. But the more I begin to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, the more I begin to allow him to dig deeper in my life, and the more I said, I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna come to church every time I can. I'm gonna read the Bible more than once. I'm gonna start reading at least four times a week. I'm gonna start getting in my word. I'm gonna switch up my music a little bit. I want my car to be an environment of worship. I want my home to be an environment of worship. I want my kids not to just read about worshiping in River Kids. I want them to see it and sense it in mom and dad. I wanna create an environment in my home where the presence of the Lord is. I mean, I'm not happy with this. I mean, this is easy kind of stuff. I wanna get into that deep water and experience God with the way he wants me to experience.
Yes.
He dig deeper in the things of God. And one of the ways he does that is our commitment, but he also in the Word of God. How many know this is a spiritual book? So in order to read this book that was written by the Holy Spirit through men, if it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, in order to understand it, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that make sense? In order to understand the things of God, how many know God is spirit? The Bible says he's the father of all spirits. He lives outside of time. He lives outside of everything that we know is in our little time zone here in life. He lives outside of that. He is God. And he is already ahead of us. He knows what's gonna happen. He knows what's gonna happen next week. He knows how you are gonna respond to this message. He already knows if you're gonna stay in ankle deep or some of you are at knee deep. He already knows what you're gonna do. So the argument is, should I even do it if God knows I'm gonna do it? Yes. How many know the sun's coming up in the east tomorrow? Do you think the sun says, nope, not today, because God already knows I'm coming up? It's like watching a football game, guys, after the Lions draft. I think it's going to be better. But football season is coming, and you can pre-record the football game. And you ever have one of them friends that tells you what the score is before you want to know what the score is? If you're in the bubble, because Pastor Eddie's preaching really long on Sunday, so you're not catching the game. And so you want to wait till you get home before you watch it, but they're already shooting you the score. And then you get home and you watch the game, and you already know the score, and you already know Lions won and went 8-0. But this is the eighth week and they're down by three touchdowns. But because someone done text you and told you that we win anyway, how many know you got this? You're more relaxed than anybody when you're watching the game. Can I tell you, this book has already said that if we don't quit, we win. If we just stay with them, we win. If we just go into the deep water, I don't care how it looks. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what the score is. I seen the whole thing and we win. But the second lesson you can watch in that is, do you think the players are playing any different when you're watching the game in slow time after they've already really watched it? No, because to them, it's in the real moment. I don't know if you're following me. I'm all over the place with this today, but here's the point. It don't matter if God already knows how you're gonna respond. You don't know, and you still got a free will, and you still gotta have to make the decision today, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I'm gonna decide to get into the deep end of the pool. That's my point. But the Holy Spirit helps us understand. In fact, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians that says this. If you have it, put it up there on the screen. And if you're watching at home, I want you to see this scripture. It says, but the natural man, look at this, the natural man, that's before we come to Christ. That's before we get in the water. The natural man. You may be sitting here hearing me and listen to this message and be like, what's he talking about? You kind of can hear some of the analogies, and that's why I use the analogies to kind of connect with you. But secret, spoiler alert, I'm just connecting with you because I want to bring you to the deep end. That's why Jesus told parables. That's why Jesus told stories. That's why we have them in the Bible, because the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him. Sometimes it even sounds foolish, getting in the water and ankle deep and selling out to God. And what do you mean selling out to God and letting him be make us holy. Man, everybody else is doing this. It may seem foolish. If you're thinking that way, you're thinking with your natural mind. They are foolishness, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We're needing the help of the Holy Spirit. In order to understand the things of God, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give this to you a little practical. Everybody say word. 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 All right. That's all I wanted you to say is word. That meant something in the 90s, young people. You doing all right? Word. Some of you are like, what? You think that's weird? I heard some of your words. Bussin'? What's dripping? What's all these? No, I'm just kidding. Don't start recording me and putting me on TikTok. But the word in the Bible, how many know this is the word of God? And as I said, we need help of the Holy Spirit. So let me give it to you. Some of you already know this. The word of God, there is two ways of reading the word of God. There's actually two Greek words for the word word. You following me? And I'm going to give them to you this way. They're both. One of them's logos and one of them's rhema. Everybody say logos. Everybody say rhema. You just learned Greek at church this morning. They're the original language that the Bible, the New Testament, was written in. What is logos? Logos is the written word of God. It's this word that you and I can open and just read. Jesus from Nazareth. That's what my Bible says. You could just read, if anybody, you can be an atheist and read Jesus is from Nazareth. There are, in fact, atheists and agnostics and archaeologists who have read the Logos, the Bible, to find out where locations of cities and artifacts. And it's right every time, which is another proof of the Bible. But amen, it's there. That's the Logos. That's the written word of God. It's good to read the Logos, the written word of God. But can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit begins to go to work in our life, there's more than the Logos. He says, I want to give you what's called the rhema. How many rhema people we got up in here at River of Life? Rhema is the spoken. Listen, take a picture of it. Remember it forever. It's the spoken, personal application of the written word of God. So you got the Logos that says Jesus was from Nazareth. That's good, okay? You can read it and go, he's from Nazareth. Nazareth is a little city that nobody really knew. It was unpopular. It was irrelevant. It was tucked away. It was nothing. It was statistically, it was nothing great at all. And you can keep on reading. But to the person that has the Spirit, who allows the work of the shovel to go a little bit deeper, the Lord will say, I want you to look at that again. Jesus from Nazareth. That means that God can take something that's insignificant like Nazareth. He can take something that makes no sense to nobody else, that is unqualified, that is unimportant, that is looked over, that's not even on some maps. It is not very famous. It is not very flashy. It is not very popular. But God can get a hold of it and raise up the Savior, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Bread of Life, the Good Shepherd, the one, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one and only Jesus, Son of God. Can come from Nazareth. That's the rhema. Come on, give him praise in this place. If you're thankful for the rhema. That's pretty good. That was rhema right there, Nazareth. And some people go, wow, Jesus, I don't really get the Bible. I'm telling you, you're in ankle deep. And you're reading, and it's good. Thank God for Proverbs. I read it regularly. You can even read Proverbs with the Logos, but if you're willing to let him go a little bit deeper and you pray and you say, God, I don't want to just read a scripture so I can check the box. I want the rhema. I want the rhema. I want you to speak to this soul of mine through Proverbs. I want you to speak to me in my word. And when you begin to read your Bible like that, you will begin to get hooked. You will begin to start feeding on the rhema. You begin to start saying, man, I need that rhema. What is the scripture? I think I have it where Jesus says these words, man shall not live by bread alone. That's logos. He said, but man shall live by every word spoken. That word there is rhema, spoken by the word of God. Because the logos is good, but the rhema is life-giving. This message I'm preaching to you, it was Hiram. I've read over it many times. Okay, some guy named Hiram or Hiram. I don't even know what his name is. He made shovels. Okay, pretty good. Hiram, how much did you charge? But when we stop and I begin to meditate on this, the Lord said, go deeper. Go deeper. And this whole message I'm preaching you today is from the Rhema word of Hiram, that he come to make lavers, he come to make shovels, he come to make bowls, to get us to go deeper in the things of God. He turns information, this is information, he turns information into revelation. That's what the shovel does. That's when we allow the Holy Spirit to go deeper, when he goes from information to revelation. When God began to speak to me and I began to read, when I got saved, the Lord spoke to me in my hotel room. And the first time I heard God speak to me, how many believe God speaks to you? It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't on room service. The phone didn't ring. It was an inside voice, a thought, because God speaks to our spirit. And this is what it said. I want you, Eddie, I want you to relearn everything you've ever learned before. And I know what he meant. I know what he meant. He meant, don't just go to work and show up and get a check. I want you to start doing it with your heart, so to speak. The illustration I used earlier. I want you to reread the word. I want you to relearn David and Goliath. I want you to do your works over again. I got baptized again. So I know what he meant. I went back and started reading the Bible. Started reading Genesis and then in Matthew. I began to read, in the beginning, God, these scriptures that I've heard and read in Sunday school. But this time I was looking for the rhema, and that rhema began to come alive to me. The Holy Spirit began to show me things that I never saw before. And I begin to get hooked to the word of God and be like, wow, this makes sense. How many's ever had the rhema speak to you in this place? How many's ever had the rhema word to you say, yes, that's God. That's what happened. That's the manna. That's the hidden manna that Revelations talks about. Jesus says, he that overcomes will receive the hidden manna. It's hidden. It's hidden manna. You got to dig it out. You got to dig it out. That's a shovel. What did Jesus say? Again, back to his parables of the pearl, of the treasure hidden in the field. Jesus said, the things of God is like treasure buried in the field. And a man went and found, that means he was seeking. And once he found it, he covered it up. He went and sold everything he had to buy the whole field. What's Jesus teaching? Jesus says, this guy's dog and he sought for something more than life, and he was seeking and he discovered God because he began to dig it out. And it was so wonderful, he was willing to pay whatever it would cost for him to get the whole field. Because once you taste and see that the Lord is good, once you see that hidden manna tastes good, once you have it taste to your spirit, and you say, this is something I've never had before, you're the one that's coming into the deep end. You're the one that's going deeper into things of God. What's happening? You're becoming one of them. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You're becoming one of them spirit-filled Christians. God's beginning to do a work in your life. Here's where the change comes. Here's where God begins to work in your life and work in your family. Hallelujah. Last one. And he also says this. This is where I wanted to get today. He made the small bowls. He made the small bowls. These bowls were for personal use. They would use the bowls in the Old Testament to drink from. He made different kind of bowls. If you study it out, he made big bowls, but he made these smaller bowls that Hiram would make, H-Man would make. And they were for personal use. Everything about my message today, the Holy Spirit is personal, right? It's what he does. He's personal. But what the Holy Spirit showed me on this is that he is that personal bowl of refreshing that we can have anytime we want. There's a scripture over in John, and I didn't have it on the screen, but I just got it in my mind. John 7:37. In fact, if you don't mind, let's go to it one more time. I got to show you this. Go to John 7:37 in your Bibles. It's not on the screen. John 7:37, New Testament. This is so good, and then we're going to start to close. 7:37. Jesus is he goes to a feast. It's the Feast of Tabernacles, and they're having a ceremony. And the ceremony is the priest gets a pitcher of water and he goes down to the river of Shalom and he gets water into the river. And it's supposed to be symbolic to when God provided the water from the rock that Moses spoke to, right? Remember that story? They celebrate that. They celebrate everything in the Jewish Orthodox faith, which is great. But in the middle of that tradition, he takes the water, the priest would up front, and he would pour it down, and all the people would go, yeah! They would be excited. Jesus was there that Sunday on that Sabbath watching what was happening. And it says in verse 37, on the last day of the feast, when the priest is pouring this water out, he stood up and he cried out. Jesus did this. And he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, out of the innermost part of his being will flow rivers of living water. Now watch this. What's he talking about? This is doctrinal. This is where we need to know what he's getting ready to say, because church denominations are divided over this scripture right here. They're divided over the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, you always got the Holy Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit here and there. No, I'm about to blow your mind in that. Right here's the scripture. How many believe the Bible? Amen. I don't care what Pastor so-and-so said. He might be a good man and have a good teaching ministry and be a very good man. But we have got to look to the Word of God over any preacher, over me, over your favorite, over theologians, over anyone on YouTube or TikTok. It is what the Word of God says. So what is this water that Jesus is standing up and interrupting the ceremony talking about? It says it. But he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. You read that in your Bible? You got that? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not given yet because Jesus was not yet glorified. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to live. He's been with you, but he will be in you. And he will be like a river of living water. And we get a type of it from the guy in the Old Testament that I'm preaching about when he made the bowls. This is a symbol for you and I to be able to take a drink from the precious Holy Spirit anytime you need it. You're having a bad day at work? You're having a bad day at life? Let me tell you something. You don't have to do like they do in the old Westerns. I like watching Westerns, and I like watching some of those older movies, and they're good. And you never fails. Whenever times get tough, they reach in and pull that little flask out. I tell you, Billy, it's been a rough day. And when you're 14, you're looking at there, you're like, But they always go for that little flask. It's a joke. It's cool. It knocks the edge off. Well, the Holy Spirit, Paul says, you don't have to drink wine. And boy, there is dispensation. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can learn to rely and not reach for that, not reach for a substance, not reach for that, not run to that person, not run to that. Listen, I'm here to tell you today that there's more. You can learn to carry your own bowl. You can learn to get to the place where you take a drink from your own bowl. So when Jesus rose from the dead, let me walk you through it and then we're going to pray. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, on that first day of the week. He goes. And in John 20:22, look at these scriptures. John 20:22, he goes and it says, and when he took his disciples, they were hiding in the upper room, in a room. Remember the story. Jesus comes, walks through the wall with his new glorified body. He goes in there and he says, don't be afraid. He talks to them. He has Thomas touch his hand. It's a whole big thing. Then Jesus, the Bible says here, he leads them out of the upper room, because Jesus always leads us out of fear. He always leads us out of bondage. He always leads us out of those places and locked doors. He'll go in a locked door to get you. Come on, somebody. Did you catch that? He brings them out. He lifts up his hands and look what the scripture says. And he says to them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. What did he breathe on them? He breathed on them, symbolic to what God did when he made Adam out of dirt. God made Adam out of dirt. In Genesis, it tells us that God breathed in Adam. The Hebrew word ruach, which means breath, is the same Greek word that we use for pneuma, which means wind. Pneuma, well, you've heard of pneumonia. You've heard of these words we have. It's the same word. God breathed in Adam the Spirit of God and made him alive. In the New Testament, Jesus breathes on his disciples. These babies are having a good time today. Lord, we got river kids. I'm usually okay, but it's been a rough week. Amen. Jesus breathes on the disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. See, this is such an important message. Nothing wrong with babies, but the devil will try anything to distract what I'm trying to say to you today. Because there's addictions that can be broken from this message I'm telling you. I'm telling you that depression can come even to a spirit-filled pastor, but I've learned to overcome even suicide by preaching to you this message of what I'm saying, by getting a bowl of the Holy Spirit. So this isn't a religious thing. This is a life-changing experience that God wants every one of his children to experience and live out every day. So when you get low, when you don't feel the goosebumps, when you don't feel the presence of God, you have your own bowl. You can take that bowl and begin to say, I need a drink. It's been a rough day. But it's not from a silver flask. It's from the fountain of the living water that dwells on the inside of you. I feel like I'm up against it. I'm not breaking through yet. I'm up against it. But somebody needs to get this message today that there's more to what God has for you than just coming to church and me too and listening to some songs and reading a scripture and going to a men's conference or going on a missions trip. This, don't go past this. We got to let God fill us with his Spirit. Let the Lord begin to do a work in our lives so we can learn to depend on him and take a drink of the Holy Spirit. It's that personal bowl that we can have. Do you have a bowl? Do you have a personal bowl of the Holy Spirit? That's what I want to ask you today. Come on, let's stand to our feet all over this room today. There's a scripture, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can pray in tongues, and you can pray in the Holy Spirit, back to the Old Testament, put the scripture Isaiah on the screen. Again, the Old Testament prophesied about the prayer language. If I had time. Isaiah 28 says, for with stammering lips and strange tongues I will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. Are you needing some rest? And this is the refreshing. He says, but yet they will not hear. It was prophesied that this bowl was going to be something that God puts on the inside of us. As Jesus said, it's a fountain that you and I can learn to depend on. So the Holy Spirit cleans us up from the inside out. He helps us quit doing things. He helps us to forgive. He helps us to, you know, carrying your cross isn't quit drinking or quit doing drugs. Sometimes carrying your cross is apologizing. Sometimes carrying your cross is treating your wife better. Sometimes carrying your cross is treating your husband better. Sometimes carrying your cross is loving your kids. That's just as spirit-filled as giving a word of prophecy in church is for us men to put our arms around our kids and let them know they're safe and daddy's there and daddy's gonna lead them to the things of God. Come on, men. That's the most spiritual thing you can do. Is to put your arm around your woman and say, hey, I got this. I'm tired, I'm not perfect, and I need you to help me, but ladies can't follow a parked car. Say it again. The ladies are saying, say it again. Women can't follow a parked car. Women want somebody that's gonna have enough courage. Oh, we can learn to scrap. Well, I learned to scrap. You know, that ain't tough. You know what's tough? Is getting down in the water. That's tough. That's tough. You know what's tough? Getting this book out. What's tough is running to this and not a 40. Or a bourbon rock glass and a cigar. That looks so cool. You know what's tough? Being faithful to one woman. You know what's tough? Leading our family to serve God. You know what's tough? It's talking to your kids and saying, daddy's even struggling today. I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. But I'm going to show you how to keep going. I'm going to show you how to have that grit. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I got my bowl. I want to teach you how to have a bowl. I want to teach you how to get in the Word. I want to teach you how to keep going, even when you fall down. I'm going to teach you how to get those pants clean again. Come on. We're going back into church. We're going to get back in. Is that the best you've got, devil? Come on, daddy's back in there. I'm going to keep serving God. I'm going to keep living for the Lord. It's only when you got the helper in you and you're yielding to him. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to close this out right now. Lord, thank you for your word today. What do you want to do in this moment? I have in my mind what I want to do in the altars, but I want to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What's God speaking to you right now, guys? Where are you at? And not just guys. I'm just speaking to guys, but it's for women, young people, older people, middle-aged people, people online, wherever you are. This message is for everybody. Where are you? Are you in the laver part? Is God trying to clean? I think he's trying to do all three in all of our lives. If we're honest, I need all three in my life. I need God to continually clean my thoughts. I still get the craziest thoughts after 28 years of serving Jesus and reading that Bible. I still have doubts that come into my mind. I'll tell you that. I still have the craziest things running through my mind, but I've learned not to sit there and think on them and feed them. I've learned to cast them down and press through. Why? Because I got the helper inside of me. I've learned to get in my Bible and read until. How long should I read my Bible? You read until it speaks to you. You read, if it was one verse, then good, then stop. You've got it. It's that rhema. Read until you get the rhema. If you don't get the rhema today, read it tonight when you get home from work. Keep reading until you get the rhema, until it says something to you. Are you feeling like quitting? You feel discouraged? Maybe you set your bowl down, or maybe you never got a bowl. God wants to fill that bowl today with the precious Holy Spirit. If you need prayer with the Holy Spirit more in your life, I'm just going to open the altars right now and ask you to come up and get prayer. Altar workers, will you come and help me? Listen, I don't care if it fills all up. I just want this place. I want to give an invitation. You need the Holy Spirit in any place in your life. You need to come deeper with them. Whatever it is, come on up. Just respond to the, just come out. Come out, stand up here. Fill this area up, and you're in this place and you need prayer with the Holy Spirit. Come on, you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to go deeper in the things of God? Just come up here and just face me and close your eyes. That's what I want you to do. Just face me and close your eyes. Come. Close your eyes and just stand here. Come on, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Come on, you want more? Just come close your eyes. Get your mind upon God. Don't start praying for him yet, guys. No one pray for nobody. Just come up. I want to get them up here first. Those of you that are at home and you want to respond, you just respond the best way you can. Turn the volume up maybe a little bit more so you can hear the prayer. And it's an attitude of the heart, really. It's just an attitude of the heart. It all started when Solomon invited him in. When Solomon said, I want Hiram to come and do his work, that's what started it. And that's what we're going to do right now in this altar, is give him permission. Let him go to work. If he needs to clean us, he's going to do it. If he needs to take that shovel and show us how to use it, he's going to start it right now. And if he just needs to be that refreshing and that rest, he's going to do that even right now. Will you let him? That's all you got to do is let him. So all you got to do is let him. So if you want to let him, just lift your hands to the Lord. That's a posture of surrender right now. Those of you that are home, just lift your hands like this. That's a posture of surrender. I surrender. Come on, that's Solomon saying, come on in, Hiram. Come on in and go to work. I'm going to get out of your way and do what you got to do. And we're going to let him do that right now in the name of Jesus. In fact, I've learned this 28 years. You can't rush the Holy Ghost. I can't rush him. I can't do this in 3 minutes. So this is what I'm going to do. We're going to start to sing, and I'm going to dismiss you from right here by a prayer, and you can go ahead and go. God bless you and think. But we're going to keep praying in the altars. That's what I'm going to dismiss this right now like this with a prayer. But we're going to keep praying here in the altars, because some are going to need to pray through, is what we call it. But Father, we right now, we receive this message today. Thank you for keeping this story of this no-name man, God, who only appears once. But God, you've showed us today he's so much more than just a contractor, that he wants to go deep and do these things. And today we're allowing him. We want that to happen in our lives. We surrender our hearts to you, God, again, afresh today in the name of Jesus. Have your way, oh God. God, have your way. If you want to clean us up, cleanse us from the, get rid of these thoughts. Help us to have this strong strength in our mind, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Give us the shovel to go deeper in your word. I pray that you just have your way in this place in Jesus' name. Be with us this week, God, as we go back to our homes and our works. God, bring us back. Wednesday, we pray in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.